Southwest Airlines. Smiles and free peanuts. The secret of Southwest's success.
Adverts from the early years of Southwest Airlines evoke a lost era. Remember what it was like before Southwest Airlines? Asks a hostess in a 1972 television spot, wobbling across the tarmac in orange micro shorts and white go-go boots. You didn't have hostesses in hot pants, remember? The airline had started up a year earlier, with three planes shuttling between Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. It later acquired a ticker on the New York Stock Exchange, LUV, that fitted its perky image. On early flights, hostesses plied passengers with free cocktails. 40 years later, Southwest has become America's largest low-cost carrier. That is a striking change. Southwest was, for a long time, the underdog of American aviation. During the 1980s, it was downright frumpy, flying middle managers to Kansas City on bargain fares. But it has now developed a mix of low fares and friendly service that appeals to America's vast herd of cattle-class commuters. Ryanair and EasyJet, two of Europe's leading budget airlines, learned many of their tricks from Southwest. Last month, it announced first-quarter revenues of $3.1 billion, up 18% from the first quarter of 2010. Profits were a negligible $5 million for the quarter, but this was still better than American, Delta, or the merged United Continental, all of which lost money. Southwest has increased its capacity too. In 2009, it began its first services to New York City and Boston, and in 2010, it launched a non-stop Nerdbird between the high-tech hubs of Austin and San Jose. On May 2nd, it completed a $1.4 billion acquisition of Atlanta-based AirTran. The move brings Southwest about 700 new flights, putting the total to just above 4,000. Now the airline has access to the bustling hub at Atlanta for the first time and some short-haul international flights. The soaring cost of jet fuel will probably force all carriers to raise fares. That could hurt Southwest more than most, since low fares are central to its strategy. Already, Southwest's fares are sometimes no better than those of its supposedly more upmarket rivals, particularly when a passenger books a seat at short notice. Southwest has never signed up with websites that allow passengers to compare prices from different airlines, such as Orbitz or Kayak. And many of its passengers opt for extra services that cost money, such as early check-in, suggesting that they are willing to pay more for an easier journey. Southwest's main advantage is that its rivals often treat passengers like cargo. Not only do they squeeze them into seats that make dentist chairs seem comfortable, but they do so with an air of ill-concealed resentment. Southwest staff, in contrast, affect a madcap jollity reminiscent of British holiday camps in the 1970s. They may no longer wear hot pants, but they sometimes break into song. The scramble for seats is arduous. Southwest typically does not let you reserve a specific one, but at least the stewards smile. Southwest messes up occasionally. Last month it earned angry headlines after asking two heavy passengers to wait for the next plane. It also asked them to buy an extra seat each. And in April it cancelled 700 flights after one of its aging Boeing 737s suffered an ominous crack in its roof. But still, Americans seem to like Southwest more than most. In the current issue of Consumer Reports, it was rated America's favorite airline. It is the small things that make the difference. Southwest still gives out free peanuts, an oddly emotive subject among travelers. It lets passengers switch their flights often for no extra charge. Most importantly, perhaps, it does not charge for checked-in luggage. Bob Jordan, Southwest's vice president for strategy, reckons that charging for bags would have given the airline an additional $300 million a year. But bag fees are so irritating that Southwest decided to go without. Executives crow that this has allowed Southwest to poach customers from rivals, which has made up for the foregone fees. Meanwhile, Southwest has no qualms about charging for extras that irk passengers less, such as those early check-ins, and this generates a happy whack of cash. Other airlines could imitate Southwest's original approach to smiles and peanuts. Anybody can copy anybody, right? Mr. Jordan concedes. But he argues that the others have grown so addicted to the extra revenue from bag fees that if they change, the hurt will linger like a jumbo grounded by a snowstorm.